Good morning. Everyone keeps asking me what I'm preaching on. I don't know. I'm just kidding. That would be interesting, though. I'm going to just let the Spirit lead, and we'll see where He brings us. But with that, God can take over and just do whatever he wants, but you do have to put some work in at some point. And that's a little bit of what we're going to talk about, putting in work. We're going to start off in Colossians 4 and verse 2. So, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. So let's just open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are and all that you've done for us. We thank you for this time that we can have the brisk cold outside so that we can really appreciate the warm days. And we just thank you again for that everyone that's here and the ability to read and listen and think about your word and you. And please speak through me. May that be your words and not mine. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. So I know you've all heard this scripture before. Continue steadfastly in prayer. How important is prayer? You know, with everything we do, there's always a starting line, and sometimes there's a finish line, sometimes there's not, but most of the time there's a finish line, and you always got to start somewhere. So to start in prayer is a good thing. When we do projects, most of you know I do like remodeling things. When we do projects, most of the time there is like a beginning plan. So like when we do a new construction house, there's like a bunch of blueprints and you flip through it. There's, you know, the framing page, the electrical page, plumbing page. And they're all on different pages, but yet the end product is supposed to, the last page is normal, is everything combined, which is, looks very chaotic, but when you break it down per thing, it's really not that bad. So in our life, we need to start off in prayer, everything that we do. So every day that we start, do we start it with prayer? Do we start talking to God right away to get Him immediately involved? I know a lot of like the army guys and things like that, they'll say, make your bed. That way the first thing you try to accomplish at the end of the day is a success. You've already accomplished one thing before anyone wakes up. And they say they do more things before 9 o'clock than most people do all day, right? Is one of those things prayer. Are we faithful? Are we faithfully praying? And when we pray, do we believe it? And when we are praying, what is it that we're praying for? I remember when I was a kid, I used to pray for my cuts and bruises all the time. And I would also randomly pray for, I want like a bike. I always wanted a basketball if I didn't have one. So I pray for a basketball. And those weren't necessarily great prayers, but that was what I desired. That was like all I wanted was a basketball. Now looking back on it, I not only would want a basketball, but the ability to play basketball. I never really thought about that when I was younger. Like I wanted the basketball so I could get better, but I never really prayed God for the ability to get better. I just prayed for the ball. We also prayed for a hoop at some point because we didn't have a hoop. And we ended up using like a basket, like a old milk crate we've used a couple times against a tree. If you ever try to use a backboard that's round, it's a lot harder. That'll get you a little better quick. So there I was praying to get better, and God gave me a basket with a round backboard, made you better quicker. The other thing God gave me was a hill to live on. We lived on a pretty good slope there. We used to sled down our street, and so if you missed bad, you had to run fast and get the ball. So little did I know, the Lord was teaching me then. And so when we're starting something in prayer, what exactly are we starting? Why are we here? Do we have any goals for our house? Do we have any goals for ourselves? Do we have any goals for church? Do we have any of that? You know, one thing we always talk about is the furtherance of the gospel. You know, how many times have we reached out to somebody in the recent past and invited them to church? And if you have never invited someone to church, you may want to try that. But sometimes it's hard going up to somebody and asking them to go to church, because you don't know what they're going to say, especially in the world of cancellation nowadays. Well, you may offend somebody. If you're going to tell somebody the truth, and it's a tough truth, and they don't go to a church or believe in God, chances are they're going to get offended somehow. But how do you work through that? How do we talk to somebody and get them to come to church? And is that a desire? Do you want the church to get bigger? Like, yeah, I want to bring in more people, but I like the way that we have a small, and we're like very family oriented, and I don't want to meet new people and talk to them in the break time or after church. I like, you know, right at 12:15, I like getting home, getting my lunch and watching football. If we got extra people here, then we're going to have to stay after till like 1 o'clock and talk to all these new people. You know, is that something that like goes through our heads or minds? I know it has in mine a few times. That's why I could bring it up. If we have like a meeting at night, sometimes it can be a struggle to, well, Sunday's my only day I get to relax. And then, you know, Ray wants to do a meeting tonight at 5. And then he's going to give a devotion. And then like it just ruins my relaxation time. You know, do we ever, and then once we get there, we don't want to leave. We've been in that position. I remember we used to do soup kitchen forever. And that was, I don't know, has anyone, a lot of you guys did that, right? The soup kitchen. And for me, that was a tough one to go to. I didn't like going to that. But when we were there, it was great. But going there was very tough. And there was interesting individuals. It was like we would have to go on cold days like this, and the people were just so happy to come inside, never mind the meal, just to be inside. It was such an encouragement to us just to see the smiles on their face that they were warm, never mind eating. And in like the church life, you know, what do we struggle with, like with going to church? And in this Colossians 4:2, it talks about, so continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ. And we'll get back to the being watchful thing, but the mysteries of Christ, and like we know God, we know who he is, but we can't comprehend all that he can do. Some of the things that I like watching the Discovery Channel and listening to these different things, and they were saying that the birds chirping in the morning actually helps the plants grow. They said that they'll chirp, and that there's a certain frequency that will like open up like pores in the plants. Like how what a great designer to be able to do something like that. Like it's not just the sunlight and it's not just the water. And then like if you go through the whole plant cycle and how they grow, and he spent all this time on a plant, and then there's us who he gave free will to do what we want and all the things that we could do. But he spent all this time on a plant making a bird chirp, making it better for a plant. It's just an amazing, he's just an amazing God. We'll turn to Romans 8. Romans 8 is a great chapter. It's got all sorts of stuff in it. And we'll jump around in Romans 8 a little bit, but we'll read verse 26 first. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Now, what is our desire with all of our plans? With church, do we want to see it grow? Now, I have a feeling that most of us want to see it grow. And one thing, the men's meeting and stuff, we're going over the gifts. You don't have to show me your hands, but do you know what your gift is? It's an important thing to know. You know what you're personally good at as far as like your skills, and like if you're good with people, if you like to help somebody else out, if you know, so what is your spiritual gift? I know one of them is evangelist, right? And then an evangelist, they'll go out and try to get people and bring them into the church. And so can an evangelist only do evangelism? Is that like his only thing he can do? Is the pastor gift is the only thing he can do is be a pastor? If we don't know what our gift is, we'll have to go and figure it out by trying different things, right? So we need to work together. Jesus, when he was on this earth, he didn't walk by himself. He had 12 disciples around him, right? So he always had somebody around helping out, and he would talk to these people, and they would go around and do things. Paul had people. He did all these missionary journeys, but he always had other people with him. So when we want to do a project, what should we do? Well, first thing is pray. Then maybe find somebody to talk about it with, right? There's a gift that has to do with organization. That's probably a good person to talk to. Find someone that has that gift and talk to them. If you don't know who has that gift, you just start asking. So if you don't, try something new. So one of the things I tell the kids I coach all the time is they'll say, like, I can't do something. And one of the things I tell them all the time, if those who say I can't and those who say I can are both usually right. So go out and try something. If you don't fail often, you are not trying anything new. So even when we don't try something new, typically the human nature, we're going to fail at some point doing something. But if you don't try anything new, you'll never fail. So why try something new? Why go out? You know, the Lord wants everybody to come to him, right? Not everybody knows him. They get in nobody, people that don't go to church don't hear the, you know, preaching all the time and stuff like that. And then so when we're out in the world, we have to be a light, an example, so that someone may ask us. Verse 24, for in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. You know, what is our hope? Do we hope for that? Do we pray for those things? Do we pray for new people? What is it that you pray for? And when you're at church and things like that, and you'll talk about, oh, I would like to do this and I would like to do that. I know sometimes when the lottery number gets real high, we'll talk about, oh man, if we won the lottery, this is what we would do. And I would buy that and I would buy this. And the one question everyone always asks, if you won the lottery, would you continue working? And some people are like, oh yeah, I would never stop working. And other people are like, I wouldn't pick up a hammer the rest of my life. I would never build anything. I would just sit there and have people wait on me. But what would you do if you won the lottery? And knowing God the way that I think we all in this room know God, we've already won the lottery. And if we did win the lottery, first thing we were going to want to do is like tell everybody about it, right? Even though they say don't tell anybody, you just go do your thing. But you're going to start telling your closest friends and things like that, and you're going to want to tell people. So we'll jump back to Romans 7, and we'll go verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. That's a lot of, like, inner thoughts there, right? And do you do the things that you don't want to do? You talk about all these things, and I want to do this, and I want to do that, but then you just don't end up doing it. And then you know something's wrong, but you do it anyway. And God knows the inside. He knows what you're thinking. And so Galatians 5:17 says, for the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. So how do we get to doing what God wants? Joshua 1:9 talks about meditating day and night. Romans 12:1-2 talks about you sacrifice, you be a living sacrifice. Give everything. How do we get to that point? And it's a tough one. It's tough to get so everything that we don't sin, but we should just strive for it and keep going for it. But the first thing is we start off in prayer. In Hebrews, go to Hebrews 12. I think it's 12. I'm a little bit off on the numbers. Hold on. Yeah, Hebrews 11, I'm sorry. And we're going to go to verse 10. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. So now, if we know that this designer is God, it's going to be good. Right? So Isaiah, you don't have to turn this. Isaiah 28:16. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am the one who has laid the foundation in Zion, a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not be in haste. And I will make justice the line and righteousness the plumb line. And the hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters will overwhelm the shelter. Then Romans 11:20. That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand fast through faith, so do not become proud, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note, then the kindness of the severity of God and severity towards those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you provided you continue in his kindness, otherwise you too will be cut off. And then the last one, 2 Corinthians 1:24. Not that we lord it over your faith, but we work with you for your joy, for you to stand firm in your faith. All of that in those verses, God's the designer here. He designed us. He wants us to stand firm in our faith. Is our faith, are we at a point where we are solid? Are we ready for what is going to come at us? If someone asks us a question about the Bible or God or Jesus, can we answer it? Do we think we're going to be good? We have no idea what's going to come at us, right? And so do we think we would be ready for that? And I can tell you, God will give you the answers. He will speak through you as long as you are going according to the scriptures. And you start off with God, you set your foundation with God, and you are meditating on it day and night. If you're truly sacrificed, and when you pray, it's talking about praying, being thankful, and watching closely. He doesn't always. I know when we pray, sometimes we don't always see or know the answer, but God answers everything. Galatians 6, verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. So it's talking about bear one another's burden. So he wants us to help out anyone and our fellow Christian, right? In Ephesians 5 now. Hold on, maybe 5. Picked the wrong one. Ephesians 4. So, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with humility, with gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one Father of all, who is over all, and through all and in all, but grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gifts. So are we there? Are we ready? Are we studying? If we skip down to Ephesians 6, it talks about the armor of God. And I know we've talked about this in the past. And one thing, when you're with somebody else and you're about to go into battle, and you have all these pieces of armor and things like that. And if you're on a team of any kind, you're going to be talking and with your teammates, right? You're going to be doing it together. So we are in this together. Anything that we want to do, we want to do together. If Mr. Rich wants to go start knocking on doors and inviting him to church, who's going to jump and say, you know what, let's organize this and let's pray about it, organize it, and let's go do it? I don't know if anyone's ever just randomly knocked on a door or cold call, but that's a tough one. I know when we were in youth group, we went to the Giamatti Little League Center and handed out tracts. And I was scared. I was nervous. And we ended up talking to one guy for like 45 minutes. And I do believe he ended up going to church. I don't think he came to our church, but he went to a church. But it was very interesting. And by the end, it was very rewarding to see the Lord work. Something that I was super nervous about. And I ended up talking to like this nice guy, and we were talking about sports and all this other stuff, and then like one of the older guys that were with our group really like took the conversation over. But it was scary, but the Lord really took care of the whole situation. And when we work together with something, it's a lot better. There is Belgium draft horse. They can tow 8,000 pounds if they're trained up through like birth to like do these things. 8,000 pounds. So how many can two Belgian horse pull? 16,000. That's what you would think. When you put two trained, those draft horses together, they can pull 32,000 pounds. So that's a lot of poundage. So it's just amazing what God can do. And then if you do that again, and now you're putting a third and a fourth together, just imagine what that group of horses can do. And then there's these things, I watch these things about persuading people and stuff too. So if you have a big crowd out there and you have one person, they're out there dancing, you know, you're like, oh, that guy's crazy. He's over there dancing. And then you see a second guy go over there and the second guy's dancing. And it was like, well, at least he's got his friend there to be crazy with. And then a third person goes over and you're like, oh, that's kind of a crowd. All of a sudden the fourth and fifth go over. Now it's not really unusual anymore. Now there's a group of people doing the same thing. And eventually like half the crowd will join them. It only takes one to start the idea, and then the second one backs him up, then the third one. You know, are we doing that in our Christian walk? And how is it that we do things like that? One main way is to keep each other accountable. You know, one thing that's hard to do is be like, hey, brother, could you keep me accountable in this situation? You know, we just had the new year come up, and we started all the New Year resolutions, right? And the gym is packed. Well, not anymore. It's week three or so. But, you know, week one, the gym is packed. Week two, it's a little less. Week three, it's a little less. And then by week four, it's the normal people that go to the gym. Maybe a couple extra. You know, when you're going to the gym with somebody, it's a lot easier. I remember when we would try to go to the gym. You know, we've done this a few times. So January 2nd, I would talk to a friend. Let's go to the gym at 5 o'clock in the morning. when the second guy was there, it was a lot easier for me to wake up because I knew he was depending on me to get, like, to go there. Especially if you have one of those gym cards where it's like bring a friend, and then he was like the bring a friend guy. So like I had to be there to swipe him in. So like you're gonna be there. But if it's just you, you know, are you faithful to go that? So how do we keep ourselves accountable? What is the best way to do that? And a lot of times it's that ask a friend, can you keep me accountable on this? And that's a tough thing to do, especially if it's something that you're struggling with, you know? So you're asking, you pray, you talk to God. Now you have a second guy you're trying to keep accountable. Now you have two of you, and now two of you are presented with an idea. You guys want to do some type of service. We'll say, we'll say a coat drive, right? Because it's cold outside. Two of you want to do a coat drive. How do you start that? How does it go? Now that two of you, how do you know that God wants you to do a coat drive? Now that my kids are getting older, they ask like real questions. You know, like when they were younger, it was like, why? Now when they ask you why, it's like, well, I don't understand why a person would make this decision. And I was like, well, good luck with that. That's life right there. You will never understand somebody else. It's just not going to happen. And so, like, can you start that? How do you start that? How do you know that God, how do you know that you're going in the right direction? That was a question my daughter just asked me. How do you know if you're going in the right direction for what God wants you to do? And I've asked almost every leader in when I was younger, especially when I was deciding whether to go to college. I asked just about every leader in our assembly, how do you know what's God's will? Every one of them had a different answer. I mean, a lot of them were close, but to what the other one says. But do you have a strong desire for something? First of all, is your foundation correct? Are you steadfast in God? Are you with Him? Do you have a real relationship with God where you could hear the hard things? Are you staying accountable? Is somebody else watching you? Like, I know when we work and someone watches over our shoulder, a lot of, like, in the remodeling world, a lot of the guys get nervous. Well, I got the customer right over my shoulder. So, you should be doing the same thing whether the customer's watching you or not, right? Nowadays, we got cameras everywhere. You know, do you act the same way if you know a camera's on you or not a camera on you? And now, like, and God's always watching. Not only is God watching, but he knows you in here. So how do you keep your thoughts correct, right? Are you always hearing the correct things? And it all starts on that foundation. So if you're steadfast, you're praying, you're staying accountable, how do we know that we're going in the right direction? And doors a lot of times will open. And so if, you know, my daughter wants to go to, if she wants to go to college, she'll, you know, doors will start opening for college. And somebody random might come up to her and say, hey, you know what? I think you'd really like this school. And she'd be like, okay. But then she never checks it out. Did she just close her own door? Or did she let God lead? So several times in the Bible, it talks about doing it hard work. You know, you got to work on this, continually working. So do we also put in the work? So now we have the foundation and we pray. Do we just like let God lead? You know, when we come up here to preach and study or do the messages and stuff like that, there is work involved, right? If I was joking around with everyone this morning saying I have no idea what I'm preaching on, but you know, what if I came up here and I'm just like, well, I'm just gonna let God lead in whatever he presents. You know, would he take over? You know what? He can. He could do it. But is that the correct way to go about it? You know, if we think about that, the guy that was on his roof and the floods came and then the boat came by and he's like, hey, jump in the boat. And he's like, nah, God will take care of me. And then it went up to the second floor and the guy's on his roof and with the... And then the boat's like, hey, there's not many boats coming left. He's like, jump in the boat. And he's like, no, God will take care of me. And then he's on the chimney now, the highest point of his house, and the boat comes by. I'm the last boat. And he's like, God's got me. And then the guy dies and goes to heaven. And he was like, what happened, God? And he was like, I sent 3 boats. And, you know, you have to see, and that, In the scripture, watch, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful with thanksgiving. You know, sometimes God gives us something tough. You know, when you're going through and you think that God has that plan for you. My daughter thinks that she should go to this particular college and all of a sudden there's a roadblock. Should she just be, well, I'm done. I had all the doors closed and... Well, one door just got in your way. Like, you might have to push it a little bit, but you got to work. You know, when Jesus was here, everything wasn't always easy for him, right? He had people going against him most of the time. He was hungry and he got tempted. When you're hungry and you get tempted, it's very easy to snap, right? And then, like, Satan was over there telling him to turn these. I'm surprised, like, Jesus didn't slap him a little bit. Maybe send a lightning bolt. God, just shoot him just once. You know, this guy's really annoying. Do we stick fast? Are we looking into what the mystery of Christ is? Because sometimes, and I think they use the word mystery there because we don't always know what God is trying to do in our life. Sometimes we got to sit patiently and wait. Sometimes we got to go out and look more and try to figure it out. Verse 5, walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. You know what? I mean, if any of you have been out in the last few days in this cold, what's everyone say? Man, it's cold. Wish it was warm. And then we join right in. Oh, man, this cold is awful. But it really makes you appreciate those warm days, right? And you almost just forget how nice some of the days we've had this year were because of, you know, you go outside and get frostbite in 5 seconds. You know, you got to... be thankful. You know what? I'm thankful for this time right now because it's going to make me appreciate later much more. You know, walk in wisdom. That's a tough one. Nowadays with the common sense level of everybody going down a little bit, walking in wisdom, it could be tough. It's easy to just jump right into the flow and start complaining about something. But what does it mean to walk in wisdom? And are you wise? And sometimes being quiet is one of the smartest things to do, right? We learned that yesterday at the men's meeting. Insert foot. But... walk in wisdom. And And you have to study. You have to continually be steadfast in prayer. So, continuing. Famous verse, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. That's Philippians 4:13. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Now go to verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And then in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Do we rejoice in everything that God gives us? If we get a struggle, do we rejoice? When we get something good, we probably do rejoice. And when we get something good, are we thankful to God for it? Thank you, Lord. I know this is from you. Or do we just continue on as if it was all our doing? So, when you are putting on the armor of God, are you asking for help? I know back then when they would put on all those like metal garb and things like that, you know, they would have to ask for help and put it on. And then when the armor of God is Ephesians 6:10-20 or so. And then one thing it never talks about that I like to bring up is it never has something for the back. And that's where we got to help out like a brother. If we see a brother struggling with something, are we just going to, you know, just let it go? Or are we going to approach them? And there's ways to approach them. You got to come at them with love. Because it always talks about, and everything, if you do it in love, a lot of times it's going to come a little easier. So, I'm going to challenge myself and everyone else. You know, how do you start your day? Do you start it with God right away? I know the first thing we do is get mad at the alarm clock. And then after you get mad at the alarm clock, do you wake up and check out the window, see if there's snowing or how cold it is? So how do we start our day? Are we going to start and pray? Are we going to set our foundation for the day? Are we going to put on all this armor? Are we going to ask somebody for help or to stay accountable, which that's tough? And then when we do pray, what is it? Are we praying for our will or God's will? That's the other thing. When we pray, we should pray for may the Lord's will be done. James 4. Jump to James real quick. James 4:1. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war with you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is an enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says, he yearns jealousy over the Spirit that he made, but that he has made to dwell in us. But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. What desire do you have? And when you delight yourself in the Lord, your desires will change. So the challenge is to pray, set a strong foundation, pair up with somebody, whether it's a discipleship type thing or just a friend to keep each other accountable. But that's the challenge, is to try to keep yourself accountable and to walk with God with prayer. So let's just close. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are and all that you've done. We thank you for this time. And please, Lord, help us be accountable and just follow after what you would have us do. And may us start every day with you, and so that we start off in the right foot. And thank you for this time again. And please keep us all safe. And once again, we want to thank you for this day so that we can appreciate the warm weather much more later on. In which case, we pray.